Take your Bible tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in a body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I want to preach just a few minutes if God will be our help on if you be lifted up. Lift me up so I can see. Amen. Lift me up so I can see. Amen. As we look at this tonight and we see this, and Paul lays it out here for us, and we begin to see in chapter number 12, Paul is speaking to us, and he said it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. He said, what he's doing here, he's laying this out for us in chapter number 12, all the things that he had talked about to us in chapter number 11. In chapter number 11, he had talked to them about the things that they was having to endure, things that they was having to go through. And you know how it is in life. You have obstacles that face us all the time. We have hardships and difficulties. We have things that we have to contend with on a daily basis. And these folks was having the same situation, same things. But Paul comes to them and he begins to lay it out, and he begins to tell them that all the things that he has had to endure, praise God, in chapter number 11, he begins to lay them out from verse 16 through the rest of that chapter. He says, when you look at my life, and he says, I'm not here to boast. I'm not here to brag upon myself. I'm just here to tell you that we all go through the same things. We all have to endure the trials and the tribulations of this world. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, Pastor, why do we have to go through all these things, especially after we get saved? He said, I can see God making us go through all kinds of difficulties and trials when you lost people. But when you're saved and you're trying to do right, why does God still allow us and make us go through these things? But I'll just tell you about me. If it was me, if God didn't put me through some things, I'd get complacent. I'd get to where I wouldn't do nothing for Him. Amen. I'd get to the place in my life, I think, well, you know what, everything's running well, everything will be doing okay, and I just wouldn't do nothing for Him. You say, well, preacher, I'd never do that. You know, if God just blessed me and I had perfect peace and contentness and there was no trials or tribulations, I'd still serve God, love God. You maybe would. But praise God, there's a whole lot of us that wouldn't. But Paul says, hey, because of who God is, I go through all these things because we live in the world. Amen. God don't save us and take us out of the world. Amen. He leaves us here, praise God, to be a light in that darkness. Every trial that we go through, every tribulation, every hardship that we go through, praise God, it's an example of what God can do. Amen. So when you come out on the other side, you can look back and you say, God did that. Amen. Every one of us here have got examples that are right, so that when somebody else is getting ready to go in that, somebody else is in that, praise God, we can say, hey, look, it'll be all right. God will bring you through this. Amen. We come out with a testimony, we come out with a praise, and we give God the glory for what He has done. Amen. He begins to bless our hearts. He begins to minister to us. He said, it's expedient, praise God, for me doubtless to glory. He said, I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So what Paul's telling us here, he said, hey, listen, I could expand upon all these things and continue to tell you what God's done me. But praise God, hey, listen, he said, that's not going to expand, that's going to stop me from seeing the revealings of God, the revelations of the Lord, praise God, into my heart that I might be a help and continue to press on. He said, if we ain't careful, we get bogged down in all those things of the past. And we forget about the presence and we quit looking to the future. Amen. We can't get bogged down in the past. You know what the devil does? His favorite tactic is to take us back to who we used to be. Amen. Every now and then I'll still meet somebody I went to school with and said, I remember you. I said, yeah, but that ain't who. That's who I used to be. Amen. That's not who I am now. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise God. He saved me by His marvelous grace. He's taken me out of that. Hey, I'm not perfect yet. But praise God, I serve a perfect Savior. I'm in union and communion with Him, praise God. And He's touching my heart. He's leading me, praise God, in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm trusting to be clothed upon, Brother Charles, with that robe of His righteousness. Because mine's His filthy rags. Amen. Now I know the rest of you here, you are perfect, amen, spotless saints of God. But this old boy, praise God, I get contamination on me. I've told you before, I get up more and say, Lord, I'm running well, I'm running perfect, I ain't done nothing, I ain't messed up. But praise God, in a minute I'm going to throw my feet out of this bed and I need all the help I can get. Amen. I need somebody on my side, praise God, because I know who I am. I give myself more fit than anybody that I know. You know, we won't pack everything out off on the devil. Amen. The devil's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time. Amen. You know what's everywhere all the time? Mine and your flesh. Amen. Paul said, hey, listen, these hardships, these things, praise God, that come upon us. He said, well, hey, I'm not going to tarry on them. I'm not going to get bogged down in them. He said, I'm just going to look ahead, praise God, to what I can see in glory. Amen. He said, I'm looking with a vision to see to other side. If we get our eyes fixed on the other side, praise God, hey, it won't give us no need to look back. Amen. Now, it's not long to, but now Paul, a lot of times he says, I stir you up by remembrance. He says, there's some things that we need to remember. We need to remember, number one, how good God is. Amen. We need to realize, praise God, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Paul said, hey, listen, so we could get bogged down in all this stuff and the anxieties and the frustration and the things that affect us physically, praise God, in this world. But he said, that's not what we're supposed to do. He said, we're supposed to focus on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, on that good news, praise God, that's coming from another world. He said, I'm not going to get called in, praise God. He said, I could go on and on, praise God, about what I've had to go through, but I want to tell you, praise God, where I'm going. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, praise God, where we're going. Amen. We're somebody going somewhere. Praise God. Through these revelations, through these visions. He said, I knew a man. Now here's where it makes the difference. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Amen. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He said, he was a man about 14 years ago. He said, I don't know if it was in the spirit. I don't know if it was in the body. But praise God, I got to see some glorious things. God moved down to where I was. You remember that day when you got saved? I remember when God saved me by His marvelous grace. Praise God, I was in a lost world. I was confused. My soul was endangered. I didn't know how to save myself. I didn't know how to get out of this mess called life. But praise God, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to minister to my soul. He said, hear me. I'm here to save you, son. Praise God. Bring you out. Praise the Lord. He said, God knoweth. He said, how He's called up into the third heaven. Amen. He said, I went past this atmosphere that we live in, where we breathe and have our being. He said, I was exalted above the solar system and the starry skies. Amen. You know what's wrong with the church today? Our vision ain't high enough. Amen? Most of us never get our vision off of us. Much less the heavenly, praise God. Much less the atmosphere, the top of the atmosphere in which we live. And most of us pray, but we never get a prayer through. Amen? But then there's the starry celestial, praise God. That's above that. Well, our thinking as church people today, as Christians, is not high enough. We ought to have our thinking exalted into the portals of glory. Paul said, praise God, he said, hey, I could complain and murmur, praise God, but he said, hey, it's better for me just to stick with what I know, and what I know is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died and made provision, so I don't have to get bogged down here. I can prepare myself and be looking into a higher plane. A place where God Almighty reigns and where God Almighty rules and where people are gathered together and where people are rejoicing in the presence of God Almighty. Paul said, I went to that third heaven. He said, I knew such a man. Whether body or out of body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Amen. He said, I knew a man in Christ. And he said, that man that was in Christ, you know what's hurting the churches today? There's a whole lot of people that's not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ and Christ in you, praise God, then you're none of His. Hello? You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said the Spirit of now with us. The Spirit will touch our hearts. The Spirit will show us where we need to be. That indwelling Spirit of God that He promised when He left out of here. He said, I'll send you another comforter that'll abide in you. That word "my abide" means to take up housekeeping. He moves into where we're at. He begins to set up housekeeping in our soul. He takes that old table of sin and clears it off if we'll let Him. And He'll begin to set us a new table in Christ Jesus. Amen. A table, praise God, is the most glorious table that you could ever see. I was telling Teresa, we was over at homecoming today, and my goodness, them ladies outdone themselves. They set a table. They had enough food there that Brother Jim said, and I told them, said, you eat all you want. I told these ladies to fix double and triples the groceries for today. My, they listened. I mean, it was spread and splendor. Anything you want, there's a box of chicken almost as big as this box. Glory be to God. I said, Rabbi, I think I've went to heaven. Amen. Praise God, He was there. Had a big old tray, Brother Jeff, of nanner pudding. Glory to God, you get you some of that. You get to put the smile on your face and Ajax won't wash off. I pray God, you get to thinking about those goodness. But that's what God will do for us. If we'll let Him, He'll get rid of that mess. I praise God. Why do we want to have a cluttered up heart? Why do we want to have cluttered lives? Why do we want to have those lives that's misconstrued? I pray God, when they can be simplistic in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Him and Him alone. I'm not trusting anything or any man. I'm trusting Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. He's the one made a difference on the cross of Calvary. Paul said, hey, listen, I could explain, I could tell you about all the things, but praise God, what I want to tell you the most of is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. How this man, he said, how he was caught up into paradise. Amen. How he was caught up into paradise. Caught up, that's the same word, harpazo. That's the same word that's in Thessalonians 4. Where he says that that those that were alive and maimed were caught up. That means to be snatched, taken by force, praise God, to put into a place, to be brought out by God. Amen. And Paul said, I was caught up into paradise. Paradise. That sounds familiar. Amen. Paradise used to be in the heart of the earth. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? It's still there. You know the story in Abraham's bosom. You know Luke 16 where that rich man, he died. And that beggar, he died. You know, there's a beggar named Lazarus. Said that rich man fared sumptuously every day. He lived a life of luxury. Amen. There's a whole lot of people that living a life of luxury in this world today and they're not happy. Hello? Got everything the world has to offer. Got money and cars and boats and all this stuff, but they're not happy. They're miserable people. Amen. You can't have, the only way to have joy in your heart in this world, praise God, is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said you must be born again. Why did He say it? Because He loves you, He's concerned about you, and He wants to help you. He said that rich man fared sumptuously in a lap of luxury every day. Amen. And said there was a beggar named Lazarus who laid at his gate full of sores. And said the dogs came and licked his sores. But the Bible says The Bible says that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Amen. And said the rich man died also, and in hell lift up his eyes in torment. Amen. Torments, it's plural. Amen. Praise God. He's still there today. And he begged God, he said, hey, he looked across that gulf, it was fixed. And he said, hey, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he'd come dip his finger in my water that he'd cool my parched tongue. He's begging for just one drop of water. But Abraham said, hey, listen, Lazarus, he said in his life, he got the paraphrasing, he said he got the raw end of the deal. But praise God, because he was faithful, because he loved God, because he trusted the Lord. He may have went through a whole lot of hardships in this world, but praise God, now he's in the laps of luxury. Amen. And that old fellow said, yeah, hey, wait a minute. He said, my brothers are still there. Said, could you? Now then he asked for a preacher. I'm kind of chasing a rabbit here, but we'll catch it in a minute. He said, you was in the lap of luxury. He was suffering. He said, but now he's in the lap of luxury and you're suffering. But he said, hey, listen, I've got some brothers down there. He said, hey, would you send Lazarus that he'd testify to them? Amen. That tell them, praise God, not to come to this awful place. How is it? How come people, when they get in really deep trouble, then they want the preacher to come? Amen. Then they want one to the deacons to come check on them. So they want some help when they get themselves, when they get dug down so deep, they can't get out. But Moses said, nah. Said, Father Abraham said, Moses, they have the law and the prophets. Let them hear them. And they said, oh no, Father Abraham, but if one come from the dead, they would listen. Amen. Praise God. Because there was a great gulf fist. There's a chasm. Amen. A great wound, as Luke would write this, a great wound that couldn't be healed. One side was hell and a place of torment. The other side was paradise. But you remember what happened to paradise? Jesus, when he died, Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just show you right quick. I don't mess this up. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 8. He said, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. So Jesus descended down into the heart of the earth. Praise God, the Bible said that when he went out of there, praise God, that he took captivity captive. What did he do? He emptied paradise. Praise God. And he took it to be with him where he was. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, you've run this rabbit. Where are you going with it? I won't tell you what Jesus Christ, he knew what he was doing from the beginning, because when he prayed that high priestly prayer as he crossed the Kidron, going to pray, going to the cross of Calvary, he prayed for himself. Oh, Father, would you please help me? He prayed for his disciples. Oh, Father, would you please help them? And he prayed for me and you, those that come along behind. He said, would you please help them? And so, God, my heart's desire, listen to me, my heart's desire, Jesus' heart's desire is that we be with him where he is. Amen. In Jesus' heart, paradise wouldn't be paradise without you and me. Amen. So he ascended, praise God, and he took paradise with him. Amen. Paradise, the paradise of God. Remember what Jesus said? There was another instant in Luke 24 when Jesus was hanging on the cross on the left side and on the right side. On the left side was a thief, and he railed in his teeth against Jesus Christ. He said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Amen. But that old thief on the right side. I said, but that thief on the right side. He said, hey, listen, we received the due rewards of our deeds. But he said, listen to me. This man has done nothing amiss. This man has never done anything wrong. And he said, Lord, praise God, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Amen. What Jesus said to him. Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me. Thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Amen. Pray God. Jesus had a plan and he had a place. Glory be to God. So Paul's telling us here, he said, I ascended up. Pray God. And I glanced over. I looked up. I got to see into paradise. Glory to God, the home of the saints of God. Amen. It ought to make you excited to think about it. You say, why, Pastor? Because God, he said, if we be lifted up, if we encourage you, pray God, we can get up. We can look, pray God, we can get a glimpse into glory. I wonder if we want it today. Do we really want that glimpse of glory? Amen. We got to be like Brother Paul, we got to be caught up. We get caught up in everything that this world has. I mean, everything. We say, preacher, I'd like to, but I ain't got time. It's funny to me that we'll make time for something we really want to do. Amen. When it comes vacation time, or when the bass are biting and you hear from your buddy say, hey, you better get down the lake Saturday. Them bass are biting. Praise God, you'll forget. Adam, you'll forget everything you knew except for getting down there and getting on that lake. Say amen. Say on me. Amen on me. We'll forget everything, but we'll let it go. Because it's something that we want to do. We got to get caught up in the gospel. We got to get caught up in Jesus Christ. If we ever get caught up in it, our want-tos will change. Our attitudes will change. Paul said, I got caught up. He said, everything about my prospect of life, it changed that day. He said, 14 years ago. He said, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but something got a hold of me. Amen. That's what happened to me several years ago. Something got a hold of me. Amen. Hey, I used to like to hunt and fish better than as much as anybody. Amen. I told you before, I dragged my wife and kids. We was having family days. And I drug them through laurel thickets and everything. I was scouting. Amen. Praise God. That's all right. She was right there with me. My wife's been with me. Bless her heart. Amen. Glory to God. She deserves her sainthood. Amen. I even drug her to Sodom Laurel. I took her to Sodom, literally. Amen. But praise God. She stayed right there with me. But we was looking. Hey, there was some things, praise God. There was some things come up in my life and made a difference, praise God. And those things that I used to consider really important are not as important anymore. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the most important part, just to tell somebody, encourage somebody, to lift somebody up in the Lord. Paul said, that's what my whole aspect was. I heard unspeakable things, which is unlawful for a man to utter. Amen? He said, not only did I get to see the point into glory, he said, and Paul said, I didn't do this by myself. Now listen, he said, I didn't do this by myself. He said, the reason it happened is because there was some of you that loved me enough to just lifting me up. See, Paul struggled. Paul was a man. He wasn't a well man. If we had the afflictions of Paul, we'd probably quit a long time ago. Amen. Paul was on the road to Damascus. You know the story. And the Lord overshadowed him. Now, Paul was going in the direction he thought he ought to go. There's a whole lot of people in our fundamental Bible-believing churches today that's going in the direction we think we ought to go. Amen? Doing the things that we think we ought to do. Paul was brought up under Gamaliel. Amen? The head doctor of the law of that time. He knew it forward and backwards, inside and out. Amen? And he was going to Damascus. He had letters in his hand from the synagogue to persecute those people he found in the way. He's talking about the Jesus way. But Paul didn't realize in his desire to try to do what he thought was right, he was getting in the way. Amen? So God come down on the road to Damascus. He come down there, praise God, as a bright and a shining light. But in his presence for God, and Paul, you know the story, Saul fell down before him. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Amen. He said, that long, sharpened stick, that ox goad that they're using, they're goading you on with, they're poking you on with. He said, you're paying attention. You're going in the way that they're driving you. He said, but you're going in the wrong way. Amen. So Paul said, Lord, they done got his attention then. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen. And the Lord, I know the Lord's got a sense of humor. He's got a way to get a hold of your attention. He said, I want you to go up. The master said, I want you to wait there. And amen. And so Saul goes up there. They lead him by his hand. He can't see. Amen. Because he's blind in his eyes. He can't see. I guess you look upon the Lord, praise God, the brightness of a holy and righteous God, and you wouldn't be able to see either. Amen. So his friends led him by the hand. They take him up there, long story short, and they put him out there in Damascus, and the Lord speaks to a little old priest out there, a little old man of God. He said, hey, listen, I want you to go up there to Damascus. And I say, there's a man up there. I've got him lined up. He's going to do my work. He just don't know it yet. He's been trying to, but he didn't know how to do it. I want you to go up there and I tell him what kind of things he's going to suffer for my sake. I don't know about you, when you go to call me to preach and you start telling me how I'm going to suffer for Christ's sake, when you get started, I don't know if I want to sign up for that job or not. Amen. I guess that's why Brother Donald told me when I went over, after agonizing with the call to preach for three and a half years, I finally went over. I said, Brother Donald, I got something to tell you. He said, meet me at the house this evening at 5:00. I went over, he come in from work. I said, Brother Donald, the Lord's called me to preach. I've agonized with it for 3 years. And said, I've got to preach. It's okay. Amen. He said, let's pray. We got down there at his coffee table. We prayed, got done. He said, all right. He said, I'm not going to say nothing to nobody. He said, but what I want you to do, he said, if you can get out of it, get out of it. I thought, he's lost his mind. I've agonized with God three and a half years. I've started getting ready to pack my stuff. Hey, I had a position in Oklahoma to be an assistant engineer in a new plant. I was going. So you can't outrun God. You can't move across the country, across the world, half around the world, and get away from God. God's still God. He's everywhere. I thought, this man's lost his mind. I've agonized with, I come to him and he says, get out of it if you can. Don't do it if you don't have to. But you know what? It was a great piece of advice. I agonized that. I went about 2 weeks. And I thought, well, glory to God. He didn't say nothing to nobody, and I didn't say nothing to nobody. I thought, I can get out of this. Amen? So I can get out of this. I just won't do it. The second week, Sunday morning, I went down to Sunday school. I taught Sunday school class. I was teaching the young people. Amen. I come back up, boy, the choir sung, the Holy Ghost of God was all over that place. I mean, it was real miles. He was a bouncing off the walls. Hey, you could have caught a dose of that anywhere. Amen. I mean, it was real. And maybe it's just for me that morning, but praise God, it was real. Brother Donald got up and he said something. Other. When he did, I just stood up. I think he said, does anybody want to say anything? I just stood up, thought I'd brag on Jesus for a minute. Praise God, when I stood up, when I feed at that floor, Holy Ghost of God fell on me. And I went to back and forth across that church. I preached the first message I ever preached at Coles Cove Baptist Church. Brother J.R. Plymouth sitting over on the right side. He was supposed to preach that morning. He stuck his Bible up under the pew. He stayed no use. To me, this boy's going to announce his call to preach. Amen. Why? Because God got a hold of me. Praise God. But long story short, God said, hey, listen, Ananias, that old boy, he don't know it yet, but I'm going to put him through a lot of suffering. I'm going to do a lot of trials on him. I'm going to make a people where they can see God in him. I'm going to use him that people will see Christ, that they see Lord Jesus Christ, they can see God Almighty and the Holy Spirit in that man. Hey, listen, just because you're going through trials and tribulations and testing, hey, man, don't think that God don't love you and like you. Praise God. We go through those things this side of eternity so that one day, praise God, that God can lift us up and recognize us in His as part of His glory. Amen. So the Lord, long story short, He says, Ananias, He said, I want you to go up there. See, I've got this old boy in timeout on Straight Street. Amen. See, he's in timeout on Straight Street. He's been praying and fasting for 3 days. Amen. Ain't slept, ain't eat. He's just praying and fasting for 3 days. So I want you to go to Straight Street. I want to tell him what he got to suffer for my name's sake. Amen. You know, and I says, well, okay, Lord. And he said, and his name is Saul of Tarsus, by the way. He says, well, wait a minute, Lord. I've heard about this fella. Amen. He's a persecutor of the church. He don't treat us well. And the Lord says, yeah, I know that, but I'm going to use him. He said, you just go tell him. So Ananias, you know the story. Long story short, he goes up there. He eases into where Saul was. And he puts his hand on him. And he says, Brother Saul. Amen. He wanted to get in his good favor. He said, the Lord Jesus, he said, he sent me here, praise God, that you might receive your sight and be baptized. Praise God. So he's going to put you to work. So old Saul was there, praise God. God moved upon his heart. You know the rest of the story. He went to work, praise God. His eyes was open. He began to preach. But he always had trouble with his vision. Amen. The Galatians, he would tell them, he said, hey, listen, he didn't have his Emmaus, he didn't have somebody to write for him. He usually had Dr. Luke with him about everywhere, because he'd take him, lead him by his hand, take him where he needed to go. He was his physician, amen, traveling physician, amen. And he didn't. Apparently, there wasn't nobody there, so Paul would say, hey, listen, see how large a letter I write in mine own hand. He said, hey, listen, I need to talk to you. These things coming in, they stay sneaking into your life. There's error that's coming into church. I need to tell you. So he wrote with a large print, praise God, in bold letters so that they could see it. So he could see it, to write it. Amen. Take him. I could see they took it down there to the church. And they said, hey, brother, listen to me, brother Paul sent us a letter, another letter. They said, glory to God, bring it in here, let's read it. Amen. So they was used to the little parchment. And they said, well, I need a couple of you brethren to help me. Amen. I said, help you? I said, yeah, come help me. And they go out there and I can just see it. He's a big old scroll that they pull out across the front of the church. Because Paul had an urgency in his heart to touch people's lives. And he had to write it in big letters so he could see what he was writing. But he had a burden, praise God, so he began to pin her down so he could see it, so he could present it to them. And they got it in there and they began to read it. You say, preacher, you got a vivid imagination. That's all right, just leave me alone. Hey, Paul said it, not me. He said, I wrote it. See how large a letter I write with my own hand. Amen. So that I could see it, to put it on paper. So Paul, praise God, he's caught up into paradise. He sees unthinkable things, praise God. He desires from the Lord. And he said, and he's given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Amen. Paul said, there's something that got a hold of me. He said, there's a messenger of Satan to buff me. He said, there's a thorn in my flesh. There's something that's there, praise God, all the time. The measure of suffering to buff me. That's the blow, amen. As though to block, even to box your ears, amen. Something that's contentious. But Paul, he says, I'm not exalted. I'm just magnifying the Lord. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Amen. But listen to what he says. And he said unto me, verse number time, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul said, I'm going through this thing. He said, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. I recalled a story a long time ago. I was reading about this fellow, this preacher, young preacher, and he had this young son, and that son got sick unto death. And come Saturday morning, the little boy had died. And the preacher had to take his little boy out and he had to plant him in the cemetery. And he was weeping and crying and agonizing with God, asking why he couldn't figure out why this God had to take his young son. And he's still weeping and crying. And that evening he went to his study and he was trying to get something for Sunday morning. Something he could preach, some way to exalt the name of God. And he was wondering, he was worried, he was bawling, his whole front of his shirt was wet with tears. And he flipped his Bible up, and the Holy Ghost of God flipped his Bible open, he flipped up to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And the Bible's reached out, and God, the Holy Spirit reached out and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And that little old preacher got a hold of those four words. He says, that's my God. My God is able. My God's the God of glory. And he said, it's my grace. Grace, that unmerited favor of God, what God does for us that we could never buy, we could never pay for, we could never have. It's an unmerited favor of God. It's my sins that I give to Him. And He takes my sins upon Himself and He offers me His righteousness. Amen. Glory be to God. That grace, that unmerited favor of God. He says it is. That's permanent. That's always. Amen. That's never ending. Praise the Lord. And He said it's sufficient. It's sufficient. In other words, it's enough to satisfy. Amen. That God's grace is enough, sufficient to satisfy, to meet every need. Just think about it. Do you think that little bitty cup of grace that God has to pour out, that He pours out on me and you, is sufficient to exhaust the sea of His grace? That little bitty cup that God has, that grace that He has for you and for me, is nowhere near, praise God, that is not going to drain out the ocean of His grace. His grace, praise God, His ocean is full of grace. Amen. You see that little old preacher, he says, you know what? God's grace is sufficient. Praise God, I'll preach another day. Glory to God. When we're weak, that's when He's strong. In verse number 10, he said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When I realize the feelings of my own infirmities, my weakness and my lack of strength, then I realize the awesome power of my God. Amen. I don't know the times in my life that God just reached down to where I was. And He's just encircled me in His loving arms and pulled me to Himself and picked me up and literally carried me through circumstances and deposited me safe on the other side because His grace is sufficient. Paul says, I was looking up into heaven. Praise God. I say tonight, youngest, praise God, let's just lift us up, lift each other up so we can see. Lift us up so we can see into the paradise of God. Amen. When you begin to lift you up, praise God, you begin to lift each other up. You begin to encourage each other. I told him over this morning, I said, Brother Junior comes in here, preaches. I said, if you want to preach a preacher death, just get the amen in him. Get the praying for him, just get the amen in him. Making a little noise when he's a preaching. Hey, it's good for you to keep him falling asleep. Amen. But it'll stir up a fire in him, praise God, of encouragement. Amen. That the Holy Spirit of God will pour out on you. Amen. We got to get in here, praise God. We've got to lift each other up. If we want to see the power of God, praise God. Hey, Brother Jeff, if you just lift me up so I can see. Amen. And somebody just lift Brother Jeff. He's a big old young'un. Amen. It'd take two or three of us to lift him up. But we lift him up to where he can see, praise God. Amen, praise God. Hey, listen, nobody's too big, nobody's too little. If we just unite with Christ and lift each other up. Paul said, hey, listen to what I'm telling you. He said, praise God. Hey, listen, so I know I couldn't do it, but there was somebody back home. There was somebody down at Corinth. There was somebody at Galatia. There was other people in Philippia. There was other people in Ephesus. Praise God, that was praying for me and lifting me up. And somehow or another, God got underneath me, and He lifted me up. And they said, I got to look over into paradise, the paradise of God. You know what's wrong with the church? We don't get enough glory. We don't look high enough. Amen. We need to be looking over into paradise. We need to be looking over on the other side. Don't get bogged down on this side. Amen. All the things, all the trials and the heartaches and the iniquity and sinfulness in our lives, it holds us back. It holds us down. But praise God, if we begin to lift each other up, amen, if we begin to just lift each other up, come alongside one another, amen, love each other. Have compassion on each other. Begin to encourage each other in the Word of God. Say, you know what? You can do this. You can overcome that. Amen. You're better than this. You're better than God Almighty. He's there for you. He's there to help you. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you leadership. He'll show you His way. Amen. And He does. And He does. He said that Jesus said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. I believe if we'll lift up each other, amen, if we'll lift up each other, praise God, we'll get to see, get the little peek over in the glory world. Amen. Just a little peek. We see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And we see those celebrations flying back and forth, and we hear the hallelujahs and hallelujahs and glory to God's. Amen. Around the throne of grace, that unmerited favor of God, that endless throne, praise God, that's never going to run out. That grace, that mercy, that love, that rainbow that's over top of it that shows that mercy of God to us who believe. If we ever get to a place where we just encourage, Paul said, if we just keep lifting up each other, amen, no matter what's going on, no matter what we have to face, no matter the adversary, we just keep lifting each other up. But see, we live in a world today, if we ain't careful, we tear people down. Amen. Oh me. Instead of lifting up, we tear down. But Paul said, pray God, we get to lifting up. He said, you get to looking over into paradise. Amen. And somebody else will get to lift up, and they'll get to see over in paradise. And you get about three or four of us in here, and we get to looking over in the glory world. We get under that spout where the glory comes out. And pray God, you start getting excited, and you know what happens? Next thing you know, we break out in revival. Amen. Things start happening at the house of God. Boy, we just begin to praise Him and give Him glory for it. You know, we don't really know how to worship God like we should. Amen. We should come to worship God. That's what we come to church for. Amen. To worship God, to get in, to magnify Him, to praise Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His love. For what He's already done and not even count what He's going to do. He's still working on us. Paul said, praise God, I got to look. He said, I got caught up. He said, I got to looking over into the glory world. And praise God, I seen some things, praise God, ain't even lawful for me to pin down. Amen. He said, I got to see things. He said, I couldn't even explain to you what I seen. There's some things in glory that God's got to bestow upon us one day. As the old fellow said one time, said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You ain't seen nothing yet compared to what you're going to see when you get to heaven. And one of these days, in a little while, we'll get there. We'll pull up over on yonder shore where that soul and that spirit, praise God. Amen. The body says in this one, Ecclesiastes 12:7, the body goes back to dust with which it come, but the spirit goes back to God that give it. Amen. That very breath, praise God, that we leave, it goes back to its source. Ecclesiastes 11:3, I believe it is. He said that as a tree falleth, there shall it lie. Amen. If I quoted that right. In other words, we need to be leaning hard toward Jesus. Amen. It's the most important part. Every one of us ought to be leaning hard toward Jesus. Praise God, because when this old dust of our body goes back to the dust from which it come. Amen. Goes back to the dust from which it come. Praise the Lord.